This episode is brought to you by Gamefly.com. Gamefly.com delivers games right to your door. Over 8,000 titles. Go to Gamefly.com/Sondra or this episode's page on Nerdist.com and click on the banner to get a free 15-day trial.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sondra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Sex nerds, friends, guess what? This is the pussy eating episode.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, Dave.
I've done that.
Have you?
Yeah.
OMG.
Like a bunch of times.
Yeah, like 12?
Like 12 times.
Yeah?
Yep. And it was all on myself. What?
I didn't realize you were a yogi. Allison.
I was trying really hard not to laugh.
Oh, you can laugh.
Okay. It's,
Oh,
that was nice.
Welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Welcome back.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be back.
So Allison Moon, you may have remembered her from when Reed and Allison were on for the threesome episode. Which is funny because there were four of us at the mic, so it was funny because it was a foursome. So maybe we should call that.
Texted most of the episode.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you're really good at making your text sound like your voice.
Thank you.
No problem.
There's an app for that. Okay.
But Allison, you are, well, first of all, just, I mean, you identify lesbian.
Identified.
Identified.
I don't identify as lesbian anymore.
We don't have to label you.
That's all right.
I mean, do you have labels?
Labels are for food, man.
Do you label yourself?
Never heard that.
Some people have really strong labels for themselves and some people don't.
I identify very powerfully with the term queer.
Oh, okay.
I didn't used to, though. I was a lesbian. I was bisexual, then I was a lesbian, then I was a dyke, and now I'm queer.
Awesome.
And I'm 30, so that happened a lot.
And I'm just enthusiastic.
You're just greedy.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, what's the what made you start referring to yourself as a dyke?
Oh, the dyke thing is very much a political identity. And okay. So for me, like, identifying as a lesbian meant like I sleep with women, exclusively women. Yay.
Sure.
But when I decided to like start actually like change the way I looked so that it was very clear to men that I was not interested in them, which meant like cutting my hair, dressing a little bit more down,
okay.
Feeling comfortable with like owning the way that I presented to the world. Dyke felt very comfortable that way. It's a younger identity. It's a more edgy identity, which was very much where I needed to be at the time.
It is certainly more edgy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, but I think it's, I mean, there's a little bit of reclamation that's going on with the term dyke as well.
Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think I love the word. I think it's a really fun word. So
it's fun to say.
It sounds cool. I don't feel comfortable saying it at all.
That's okay. You shouldn't. You're a dude.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't need to say it.
White guys, they just can't say anything these days.
Yeah. That's fine.
Shut up.
Okay, I will.
Shh. Feminism.
Feminist.
That means hating men, right?
Yeah, totally.
Right? Am I right?
Exactly.
Woo-hoo. Listen to our masculinity episode. I'm joking right now.
I hate men, so.
So you could be a lesbian too, then.
Thank you.
That's all you need to do.
I like girls and hate men. I'm a lesbian. Awesome.
Look at your haircut.
Thank you.
Yeah. I really wish that I had like a sarcasm like HTML tag right now because I feel like everybody's going to be like, wow, this Allison, she's really not okay with me. No, I'm a total feminist.
No, I think they yeah.
So before we get into it, this weekend, Allison and I were both at the Bill Conference, BIL, down at the Queen Mary, and we went to a panel discussion because there was a sex-focused stage there in the boiler room.
Mask sex-positive boiler room.
Yeah. Ooh.
Just had to drop that sponsor name one more time.
Oh, definitely. Go for it. Delicious. And there was a panel on sex positivity. And, I mean, we here use the term sex positive a lot. And it was very helpful to hear. I mean, Nina Hartley was on the panel, Charlie Glickman, Carol Queen, Christian Tribby, Reed Malko, like all these awesome educators, whatnot. And the conversation turned into what is sex positive versus sex neutral. And my ears perked up because I was so excited because I spend so much of my time being really like enthusiastic and encouraging and positive about sex on the show. But I realize that what I do like one-on-one when I'm working with people is I try and stay sex neutral where I'm neither pushing people to be positive or negative about anything. I just want to encourage them wherever they want to go. Whereas on this show is more, I'm just more sex positive. How would you, like, how would you define those? And like, how did you come away from that?
Well, I think that there are a lot of good points raised, and obviously Carol Queen and Charlie Clip and all of them are some of the best minds in sexuality now. In terms of the sex neutral term, it's kind of a neologism where it is kind of a way to describe educational models, to kind of encourage educators not to be over enthusiastic about their own interests, right? So that, you know, anal sex, yeah, anal sex, oh my god, anal sex is the coolest, yay, anal sex is wonderful, you should totally do it, which is okay, right? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with encouraging people to try new things, but the enthusiasm as an expert or as an educator when you are in a role of you know, of a power or status, when you're teaching people, the idea of being overly enthusiastic about certain techniques can make people feel broken or wrong if they don't like something.
Right. You have to, that's what I got out of it, is like, you have to allow space to let people know that it's okay if you don't like that.
Right.
And that's just as important as giving them a positive message about it, is to let you know that.
Now, the point that Carol Queen made that I really resonated with, though, is that sex positivity, by its very nature, includes sex neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
In that, by sex positivity really is believing that sex is a positive force in the world, and that people should have the right to their consensual pleasure. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means, even if that means asexuality, but everybody has a right to their own sexual identity and their own sexual proclivities and their own choices around those things.
Right. 7 billion people, 7 billion sexual identities.
Right. And so you can identify in any possible way. And even if sex isn't something that you want, right, like that's still a legitimate form of sexuality.
Yeah.
Asexuality still counts.
Mm-hmm.
So the sex positivity idea is actually does in many ways include sex neutrality by its very nature.
Mm-hmm.
And another point that Simone from Loveline, who's also on the panel, she made in that using sex neutrality in the way in her work is very much about when she talks to counsels couples on maybe if somebody wants to try something new in the bedroom and the other one's not so much into it, but they're open to it.
Oh, right.
Sex neutrality for her was a way of moving into that kind of like, well, I don't necessarily think I'll like it, but I love you and I'm willing to try it, so I'll be neutral and I will go into it with a willing heart, even if it's not like gung-ho.
Yeah, it's that like having interest in an act versus having the willingness to do the
exactly.
act. Exactly. Willingness is neutral, whereas interest is
yeah, exactly.
positive.
And again, that's a very, I think that was a perspective I hadn't heard before, because that's from a very kind of, it seems like a very marriage counseling kind of perspective, but I think that's very useful for people who are like trying to negotiate things in couplehood or in partnership, which I thought was kind of a cool way of looking at it.
Yeah, arousal-wise, like I'll go into sex feeling very just emotionally sex neutral. Like I feel neutral about doing any sex right now, but I'm willing to try. Anyway, I'm just taking.
Was that, were you coming on to me?
I very well.
Neutrally.
Wow,
I'll try so anything.
I am willing.
Oh, I kind of, I don't know, that was very voice over me. Anyway, so yeah, I just had such a great time at the Bill Conference, and I hope all those videos get online at some point.
Yeah,
some
you did a wonderful job.
Oh, thank
Sandra
you.
Sandra taught us how to be sex nerds. It was great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm sad that I missed yours on mismatched partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was like, oh, that's a great topic.
It was a great topic. Actually, we had a great audience. It was a fun talk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
And before we get into cunnilingus, friends, the night after I gave my talk, which where I went through and I basically sex nerded about several different things and kind of talked about body hacks and like little tricks I'd sort of picked up and developed. And I talked about anal sex and how to tip into the ass in order to like sort of secretly unlock it. And this couple came up to me that night and they're like, we loved your talk. And right after your talk was lunch, and we went up to our room and we basically had anal sex using your tips, and we had great anal sex.
Whoa, that's great.
So to have that kind of immediate feedback that I had affected their sex life in such a strong way at lunchtime was...
I think the sex positive boiler room was responsible for a lot of great sex on the Queen Mary that weekend.
It was,
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens a lot more often than you're told. People are like, well, that sounds good. Let's go do that.
Yeah. Right, sure.
It's to me, it's an intellectual thing that people do the things that we mention, but to actually have, yeah, that really hit home.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think for some people, they, you know, it's very easy to be like, so like, go home, you know, have a glass of wine and then just play and see what you like. Mm-hmm. But for some other people, they like to at least approach sexuality with, especially with new people, with at least some sort of like little like tool bag, right? They want to at least know that they can like bring out a technique and try it and then like get a read there, because, you know, bits can be labyrinthal. I mean, especially lady bits, there's a lot happening down there. And so going but going in with some sort of game plan, or at least some sort of, you know, I know I can do this, and I know I can do this, and I know where this is on her probably, is actually really useful. And so I think having specific techniques, I don't think that does anybody any damage.
I mean, I talked about cunnilingus, blowjobs, anal, vaginal, I think there was some sensation playing there. I just spoke, and the fact that they went straight to the ass, I just, ugh.
Well, ass sex is scary for people. I mean, it's, there's a lot there. So it's like, if you can be like, if you're your adorable self giving people permission to try like just gentle like finger techniques, like that's a great way for people to feel like, cool, this cute little firecracker on stage just gave me a technique for, you know, anal, and I'm going to do it. I'm the Queen Mary.
Yeah, covering an anal technique in 5 minutes, that's not very much time. Anyway, cunnilingus, what do you like to call it?
Pussy eating.
Yeah. I'm really into the phrase snatch attack.
Oh my God, I never heard that.
Snatch attack. I mean, it's in my mind, though. I rarely
comes
out of my mouth.
There's a weird connotation to that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but there's, because I'm very bitey and very like,
what?
I mean, not like, not literally teeth on, like, but I'm just kind of like, arr.
You're going at it. You pounce.
I just have like, I have a certain like, rawr sort of personality just in, and so inside I go snatch attack, but I don't actually do that.
That makes me scared to sleep with you.
It's
I mean, it would be toothy.
Honestly, if a girl said to me, like, I call it dick attack, I'm terrified.
Oh, God. No, it's really just sort of like an enthusiastic chant in my head. But no, just
snatch
once.
Attack, like, snatch when, attack. Snatch attack. Snatch attack.
Is there a theme song? It feels like there should be like an 80s sports montage.
Exactly.
Snatch attack.
When you teach these things, you got to have your little phrases in your mind to get excited about them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, snatch attack,
judgers.
Butt attack, mouth attack.
It just sounds fun.
The first girl I have anal sex with, still haven't, by the way. Which, like, I am one of those terrified people for some reason. I'm going to...
But you just said the first girl you had anal sex with?
The first girl I have anal sex with.
Oh,
I will make sure to refer to it as butt attack.
Stop.
It's not even alliterative. It would be so easy to go for ass attack, man.
But butt is such a funny word. But you follow it with attack. It's like
butt
gummy
booming.
Bear attack. Butt booming? Is that what you
butt
said?
Butt booming?
God,
I don't know.
You are
alliterative.
Filled with these.
Alliterative. I'm just looking for...
Butt bashing.
Okay. Okay. Let's go. Let's all take a breath. Whoa. Ooh. Okay.
I'm breathing fine.
So let's start off with just the tip. Which is funny because we're not using
Oh,
penises.
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
So for cunnilingus specifically?
Cunnilingus specifically.
What's a...
I will shove my fist in your mouth.
Oh, wow.
I'm into that.
Hot.
Snatch attack.
That's a nice little wrist movement.
Yeah, I just did like
she,
a...
She
like
did
a fisting movement.
Hand puppet fisting.
The silent duck.
Silent duck.
Yeah,
that's the fisting.
Put the tips of your fingers into a star.
Yeah.
And then...
I know we were supposed to start with cunnilingus, but now we're talking about fisting. I'm like, no. So my friend Monica Thomas, who also has a radio show about sex, not to be like competitive or anything, but she describes fisting for people who don't really understand it as the silent duck. You're not going for the like punch in you in the face. It's the silent duck. So if you can imagine,
I think more people need to be told that
making
Affleck.
A duck face with their hand.
Affleck.
It's the silent duck.
When it's in this, well, it's can be talking until it gets in there, right? And then it's trying.
I would.
Well, then
I
why isn't it called ducking?
Ducking.
Duck billing. Duck billing.
Well, because your hand curls into a fist
when you're inside.
Oh, right.
But to get in, you need to ease it in with the silent duck.
Yeah.
Sure.
Can you imagine if we never figured that out? We just kept going.
Oh geez.
Trying.
Oh geez.
It won't go in. It just. Sorry, it won't go in.
Robert Mapplethorpe was wrong. No, does that they go very? Never mind.
Someone is laughing.
Good,
listening to this.
Somebody, a gay man who was born before the 70s is finding this hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, him.
Thanks,
anyway,
dudes.
What's your tip?
Tip about cunnilingus. You gotta listen, and I don't just mean with your ears. developing a really great way at listening to a woman's body or a person with a vulva's body, but we'll use shorthand here. Listening to a woman's body is a difficult technique, but it really requires kind of like the beginner's mind. You know, like every Ooh. Time you go down on a woman, even if it's the same woman you've been going down on for 30 years, her body changes and you need to be able to listen for it. And so I know that sounds really woo-woo, mm-hmm. But there is a lot that you can pay attention to. Listening, obviously, to the sounds that she's making, her breath, but also paying attention to the way she's squeezing her kegels if you have your hand inside of her or on top of her mound, the way that her thighs are, if they're trembling, if there's moisture, if she's starting to sweat a little bit, the way that her pussy will start to flush and open. Mm-hmm. All these things are signs that can kind of guide you on this roadmap of female arousal. And really, when I am eating pussy, the way I think of it is that you really are kind of following this winding path, right? And sometimes you'll be it's like, you know, a fairy tale. Sometimes you'll go down this one path and you're like, wait, I'm off the trail. And then you have to kind of find your way back uh-huh. to it. And it requires us a kind of a, like, I don't know, sixth sense in a certain way. You're really kind of just trying to quiet your own mind and listen to what you're receiving from her body. Mm-hmm. So I know it's like, that's not really tip-ish, but I think that's the most
totally
important part.
That's totally tip-ish.
Yeah, it's a great
Although
tip.
I would love concretes.
Sure. Well, I can offer, you know, techniques.
Oh, no, concrete examples of beginner's mind. Like, for instance, because people will overanalyze this and mm-hmm. be like, whoa, what about when you notice, is sweating good or sweating bad? Or what are some signs that are like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this right versus signs that I'm not sure. on the right path?
Well, I think the first thing to really listen for is breath. And that can be hard sometimes because a lot of women hold their breath mm-hmm. the more excited they get, which is, I mean, for ladies listening, I think that that's something that you can be aware of. And mm-hmm. I would encourage you to keep breathing because the more you hold your breath, the harder it is to find your orgasm for many of us.
Yeah, oxygenate that pussy.
Exactly. Breathe deep, keep breathing.
Word.
Yeah. And listen for sound, like this, like yummy sounds, right? And another thing that's problematic with this is that, you know, a lot of us learned how to masturbate in our homes with our parents or sharing a bedroom with our sibling or in the bathroom with, you know, mm-hmm. very thin doors or whatever. So
on the bus.
Or on the bus. But you learn to be like a sexual ninja. You learn to sure. shut your voice off. And that's, I think, is doubly true for women because, you know, we're kind of embarrassed about our sexuality in all sorts of ways because of societal norms, right? Mm-hmm. So being a screamer sounds like a really fun thing, but most of us, for the first, you know, however many years of our sex lives, we're coming silently, you know, or in our dorm room with our roommates sleeping there. Like, we learned how to become, like, internalize all the noise. Mm-hmm. And so for women, when they learn to kind of, you know, I really encourage women to like start practicing masturbating with noise. Like, learn to listen to your own sexy sounds and get turned on by your own sexy sounds. Because hearing a woman having pleasure is...
Pleasure sounds are so awesome.
Awesome. I mean, I could get turned on. Like, I could, like, listen to a porn and be like, oh my God, this is so hot.
Yeah,
like,
the same way.
Right. Like, who doesn't love hearing that kind of stuff? Obviously, it's difficult if you've got, like, kids or, like, you know, roommates. But, you know...
Playing music is helpful. It really helps cancel out a lot of sex noises.
Totally, totally. Yeah. So I think, yeah, the noise is what you want to... So if you're the one giving the head, listening for the sounds she's making... listening to her breath.
Give me examples of not good noises, like moanings.
Ow!
that is the best one.
Okay.
But you know how there's like, you know, there's that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, And then there's like, but that could be good, that could be bad.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I have a lover who, she says, the more excited she gets, the more she says, nah, 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 which sounds like no, doesn't it? It's scary. I'm like, oh my God, I screwed up. But it's just a sound that she makes, which is like, I had to get used to that, right?
Right.
So the nah, nah, nah. But like, so... Sounds like, so if you're making lots of like yummy sounds, like and then you hear a that's probably not good. It's probably like you surprised her, especially if you moved somehow or adjusted something. That kind of like can be kind of like, you need to stop that.
Like, she's like a wild animal, no sudden movements.
Right. Well, and sometimes like, and I, you know, if I if that happens, like, there's nothing wrong with being like, good sound, bad sound.
Yeah, definitely checking in.
Right. Especially if you don't know her very well yet. Like, that is always... I mean, again, like, the checking in verbally, like, you can ask yes, no questions and you can get that answer real fast and then you're right back in. You're not like ruining the mood by saying more or less or harder, slower. like all those like little yes no, then she can just say yes or no.
Yeah.
And that's easy.
Hmm. I had a partner who silence was a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Like silence is when things were getting really good. And I was like, okay, she's silent now.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's the good silence.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and they're actually, I mean, yes. For me, I usually get like pre-verbal the more aroused I get. So I actually like, I cannot even respond to feedback, but I also tend to be really quiet until all of a sudden I'm like screaming. It's like this like low.
But then it's fun to ask the person questions because you're like, you like that? And you go, yeah, you know, and then you're like, yeah, pre-verbal, hot.
Totally. Totally.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about something.
Yeah, and I think that there's also a lot of, you know, especially when you're getting to know somebody, if you have that time to like, I mean, there's plenty of room for like the furtive, like drunken hookup. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a lot of room for like, you're seeing somebody, mm-hmm. like, we're going to have a night in, we're going to order some Chinese food, we're going to like relax, and I'm just going to spend an hour learning about your pussy. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds like a date.
Right
there, yeah, that's
right. Like,
fun.
Like, you know, with very little expectation on, you know, the idea of intercourse. Doesn't even have to be on the table. You can be like, listen, I just want to like spend an hour getting to know your pussy. Is that cool? And she might be freaked out.
I'm writing this down. Just gotta write this down.
And then it can be like kind of, I mean, it sounds like it could be high pressure, and obviously a lot of women have intimacy issues. It can be a very intimate thing to do, but it can also be really like a beautiful thing where you're just like, I'm not gonna try and stick it in. I just want to learn the sounds that you make. I want to get, like, the number game is really fun to play. Have you ever played the number game?
The number game, like, what's a 10? Like, 10 being pleasure, the
right.
most
so
orgasmic?
Like, just, like, so it, for, especially for women who have a hard time communicating what they want, right? You can be, like, so on a scale from, you know, I'll be doing something, right? Stroking your clit or, you know, pressing on your labia or something. And I'll say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how is this?
But and 10 being orgasmic or 10 being like utmost?
Like amazing, whatever her okay. 10 is, whatever like is like over the moon bliss. And she can be like, that's a 4. And I'm like, would you like me to try and go for a 5? Mm-hmm. Or what would make this a 6? And then, you know, ooh. That can be a fun game where, again, it's kind of low pressure. It's kind of silly.
Well, I've mentioned like 1 to 10. Like, well, also in checking in with where someone is in their like path to orgasm. But I love that in the checking in. Like, let's make this a 6. You know. It's like, I'm feeling like a 7. Like, okay, let's go back to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
And then once you start to get good with that game, then you can purposefully bring it back to a 3.
I love
then
doing
take
that.
It up to a 7. Yeah. And then bring it back down to a 5.
The best thing is when you know exactly what will drive someone like wild, and then do it, and then stop and do something else, and they go right back to it. And you're like, yeah, I know how to play you.
That's hot.
That's really fun. Yeah. Oh, it's fun. Anyway, my tip is way... I feel like my tip is not as thorough as your tip. Mine is more like a light something. And mine is mainly, a lot of people will hear like, do circles right on the clip, do circles. And I say, first of all, go oval or like, you know, Oreo versus Nutter Butter. You know, I say like go for more of an oval tends to be really nice. And then just play with, you know, how far from the epicenter you are, and then go with like larger ovals and then, you know, narrows or a longer oval and just play in that zone of play, just play with those shapes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a concrete, I actually have something to add to that too. I think that people underestimate pressure. And I know this is something that you talk a lot about in your acronym of awesome. Pressure is a really big deal. And I don't mean just like on your tongue, right? Like the problem with porn, I mean, there are plenty of problems with porn, but one of the big problems with porn for me is that pussy eating doesn't look like much when you're doing it right. So in porn, they have to do the kind of side angle, stretching the tongue out like licky, 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 yeah. like really weird angles so that you can see the pussy and you can see the mouth.
Pornolingus.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
yeah, it looks totally fake.
It looks totally fake.
Coined by Jamie Waxman and Nina Hartley, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Good shout out. So real pussy eating, you know, your face is buried in it.
Yeah.
So you gotta, and so one of the things that you can really try and do is play with pressure. And so I think that, yeah, people treat pussies too delicately in a lot of ways.
Just
and I don't mean like
light tongue,
yeah,
licking
which,
around, so
which
light.
Can feel good, but it's not going to get a lot of women really excited. It might be a fun, like little, like, you know, aperitif, but it's not going to be the entree by any means. Mm-hmm. So,
Depending, and some do.
Sure.
But Yeah, deeper can be quite nice.
Deeper can be nice. And again, like playing with the pressure thing is really cool because using your face to generate that pressure is a big deal. So obviously, I'm sure you've talked about the internal structure of the clitoris
your
and
face.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, I've mentioned. I mean, we can go over bits of anatomy for sure.
Sure. So the clitoris isn't just what you see. That's literally the, well, not literally, it's the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And so you see a little bit of the clit that sticks out on every woman differently. But there's still a huge internal structure that goes on, and it's basically the clitoral legs that extend into the body and then forks, and one leg goes around the labia and then around the urethra and around the vagina. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of erectile tissue in there. And
that's like a jogging track around the field. But like, you know.
That
is a great analogy.
That or a wishbone. I like both of those.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, when you add pressure, instead of just like, you know, licking the tip of the clit for hours and hours, when you add pressure, which you can do with your face by just like pushing forward with your neck, mm-hmm. you can use your cheeks and your chin and your nose to create this really yummy pressure that will not only, you know, stimulate her all of her clit, not just the tip, but will also, I mean, it feels really safe, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can hump against your face. Mm-hmm. I can use your face to kind of ride on. Mm-hmm. And then you can, when you use, now I'm like, I'm, because I'm sleep, I fuck women and I get fucked by people. I'm like, now I'm the woman on the bottom. Now I'm the woman on top. So, okay. If I'm eating pussy, I can generate a lot of pressure with my face. She can hump me, but she can also kind of like, her humping against me means that I'm stabilizing her with my head. So she's not getting all wily, right? She can't like kick me off, or she might be if she's really strong, but like she can just kind of writhe against my face and she can find her own rhythm with all the stuff that I'm doing while my mouth is open and my tongue is going to town on her clit. Mm-hmm. This is a really great technique in general. This is something that I generally like to do because also you can generate suction that way. Mm-hmm. You can add warmth by just blowing. You can add vibration by speaking or making noise, which is a really fun thing to do.
I love doing that.
Yeah.
The noise thing?
Yeah.
The pussy hum?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, give me a good pussy hum. Wait.
That was actually pretty good, right there. Well, that, I mean, it feels silly at first, but yeah,
it does
like
feel
you're
silly.
Generating different vibrations with the lower your voice, the higher your voice. You're essentially creating a vibrator.
So I'm imagining you, because I haven't done this, but just like, like that.
What I generally do is do? I like, I'll moan, because I feel like it both generates sound and it makes her know that I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Like it's arousing me, and it does. It does turn me on. So it'll be like, you know, I don't know. I'm getting embarrassed.
Yeah. That's awesome. No, that's totally perfect. Like that. Yeah, making the yummy sound is like, it's affirming. You know, you're like, oh, he or she's really into this. They're right. Making yummy sounds.
I'll do that. I'll multitask. Yeah, I won't like. Yeah. I won't like hum a tune, but I'll be like.
Yeah. I don't think that's what I meant. So like, I'm like, solid. This is fun.
Because the problem is, if you do that thing, that and then she likes it a lot, you're gonna have to keep doing it over and over.
That's the voice that I have when I have sex. By the way,
you like that?
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So pressure, pussy pressure. And you know, the cool thing about this is like, if one way you can try adjusting pressure for her is obviously the classic of her on her back and you like on your knees or on your tummy in between her legs. But if she straddles your face, then her body weight is creating a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. So she's basically able to, you know, hump your face in a position where she can control how much pressure she's giving her own pussy.
But just make sure that the person who's receiving that face humping feels comfortable communicating when they can't breathe.
Oh, yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Because then there's that point where they're like...
The gentle buttocks tap is... excuse me.
So important.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I mean, you can also... I mean, I do enjoy the deep breaths and then right back in. Like, there have been times with whether a woman's very lippy or very wet, like, you kind of have to just like...
Oh, yeah. You got to come up for air.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be insane, especially if it's taking a long time.
Yeah.
Gone down on a girl for over an hour before. You know, I had to like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I actually, I was eating a woman out who's very, very wet, and I felt like I was, have you seen in the movie The Abyss, where they take the little rat and put him in the fluid that helps him breathe underwater? Or like Ed Harris towards the end of the movie, I felt like that. It was weird. I'm sorry, that was a total nerdy thing to say.
Hold on a minute. So you were going down on a girl, mm-hmm. and you thought that you were in the abyss.
No, it felt like a Harrison abyss where they like fill his lungs with the fluid and he breathes.
No, I get it. I get it.
No,
but you wanted to be the rat so you could breathe.
We're just so close to calling that girl the abyss.
She's wonderful.
I'll bet.
I love that. It's a good abyss. It's fine. Yeah. The pressure thing is important. I think what I wanted to just mention on the pressure thing is that giving empowerment to the receiver of the oral sex that they can be involved. They don't just have to lie there like you know, just a deer in headlights. Like they can be involved and face hump and mm-hmm. and use their hands to kind of guide the head or whatnot.
And that's something that a lot of women have anxiety about. Again, mm-hmm. like, you know, like they're in this vulnerable position and now I'm like humping, which is a weird thing for a lot of girls to mm-hmm. do. And I get it. I totally get it. Like I was a silent comer. I was mm-hmm. super anxious about receiving oral sex because I thought I looked ugly from that angle. Mm-hmm. Like that happens to so many of us. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is just kind of like obviously finding people that you trust mm-hmm. to eat you out is an important thing. And also just like learning to like take on your own pleasure. It's like mm-hmm. you're responsible for your own pleasure. And like if you can realize that like, you know, if you try when you masturbate, like holding your mound with one hand and then diddling yourself with the other, right? Mm-hmm. Like feeling pressure that way or squeezing together your lips or tugging in certain ways and like really playing with your junk.
Yeah, mush it around. There's a lot of fun, cool stuff you can play with.
Totally.
Big fan of mushing. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mush. Mush away.
Mush, mush.
Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, it's just because
mush fan.
You don't get that example in porn. You don't see a whole lot of smushing going on. Like the vulva is very malleable. You can play with it a lot and press mm-hmm. together. And
sex
in porn doesn't even really seem that fun to me a lot of the mm-hmm. time. Sorry. Yeah. So I concur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You should mush more, is what I'm saying.
Mushing more.
My plan is to cut Sandra off at every sentence. Right.
Snatch attack. Mush.
Snatch attack.
I think you should have a T-shirt that says "Snatch Attack Attack."
I think so too. Mm-hmm. It should also be the name of this podcast.
I actually thought that when we talked about it, because I wrote something and people were very angry about this because it was a little on the sex negative side and I felt bad about it. But I wrote one of my posts for Nerdist when I first started writing was called "Velociraptor Snatch Attack," and it was about the act of getting so crazy and too intense on the clit area, and just every time you sneak, like your butt sneaks away, that they just like keep hunting you and go forward and rah, and then like you just sneak away, like no, really, less pressure, and they just keep going for it. You're like, why am I being hunted? Like you're a velociraptor. Anyway, but some men wrote me saying they were very angry at me for, they're like, well, God damn, they were just very frustrated, but I understand now, you know, it was a different place. It was a different time.
Well, I mean, if that's not what you wanted, then maybe they shouldn't do that.
That's a listening thing. Like, if she keeps on inching away from your face, maybe she doesn't want you to pursue her. Like, that's a kind of...
Read the hip movements.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very odd moment to play hard to get. Try harder. Try harder. No, I want it, but...
Come here, boy.
Chase me off the bed first.
Yeah. You know, I think because I've scooted feet away from a person before. I mean, this was years ago, but like I just remember scooting so far away and just keep coming forward. I'm like,
what were they doing?
Just way too much clit, way too fast. Like, just when you're just, it's like penises and how like, some people just can't handle a whole lot of head and someone's all head all the time and you're just like, whoa,
it's terrible.
Whoa, and you mm-hmm. know, like, so it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's tinier and more nerve-ending.
So the guy was, I mean, I'm asking you because this is a good thing, mm-hmm. you know, to know for me and probably other people. Mm-hmm. He just, I mean, what happened? He just like, clit attacked you?
Yeah, just clit attacked, just like, now of course
he
some
just,
people
like, lifted
might
up
love
the clit
this.
Hood, and then just
just got crazy.
None of his body was touching any of the rest of your body. Just the clit.
Just like, just clit back and forth. Just like, blah, 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 like just really focused, sharp tongue right on the clit, which is probably my least favorite sensation ever in the world. Well, I'm lying.
That can't be right.
But in a less aroused state. Like if I were really,
you weren't
really
ready aroused. For it.
Yeah, I just wasn't ready. So it was just like a comical thing. Like looking back on it, like, oh, there was an experience.
Yeah.
And but from a third person point of view, it would almost look like a cartoon because you're like chase chase. I don't know, it's just funny. Whatever. Anyway, it's a thing.
Well, I mean, that's like a great, that leads into segues nicely into one of the best techniques for like just conceiving of oral sex on a woman mm-hmm. is variety, mm-hmm. then consistency.
Oh.
So that means basically when you're starting, do a lot of different things and don't just attack the clit, but like play with the labia. If she's into penetration, you can negotiate some penetration. You can the vestibule, the mound, all this yummy stuff that's all around mm-hmm. there. And then when you find something she really likes, keep doing that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of like if you're trying to get her to orgasm, that's it, variety, and then consistency. Now, mm-hmm. the problem is consistency can still take a very long time. You can find something that she really loves, and then you're like in it for 20 minutes doing the same exact thing, which can be really difficult.
But I often find that if it's something that somebody really likes, if you even do that for a really long time, it may lose its effectiveness.
Sure.
So every little bit, it's nice to do something slightly different. And then go right back into the exact same thing you're doing, and so that you can give them a little refresh on that, and you can so that they're like, "Oh, sure. I still come back, do the thing. Oh, you're doing the thing again. I love the thing so much. Oh, come back. Oh, it's even better." You know, so if and you play with that a little bit,
that the way you just verbalize that is actually a very energetic thing that you can hear that. You can hear, like, once you pay attention enough, you can hear like the like.
Totally. Yeah. And it can increase their enjoyment of that by so much just by taking it away for a moment.
Yeah, it's like
take away the toy,
kind of thing,
give the toy. Take away the toy, give it a toy.
Yeah.
It's fun. Okay.
It's totally fun.
And it works for anybody's body. It's just a thing to do. It's very fun. Yeah, sorry. I thought about two different things. One, this will be called Snatch Attack now.
Okay.
But then again, people are going to see that on iTunes and be like, Snatch Attack?
I don't think that we can change it to Snatch Attack. Yeah.
Huh? Maybe you could just call this episode Snatch Attack.
Yeah. That's
the episode.
I mean.
Like, I didn't mean
the
whole
episode.
Okay. I thought you meant the whole podcast.
No, I'm talking about this episode because I'm always like, what do I call the episode?
Yeah, call it Snatch Attack.
You think people would know what that is when they see Clit Bomb?
Clit Bomb.
Well, I teach a class called How to Drive a Vulva.
That's hilarious.
You are my favorite person right now. Right in this moment, you win. You win.
How do you drive a vulva?
We're talking about it right now.
That's true.
Like this. Okay, sorry.
She moved her hand in a wavy motion.
I don't know what that meant.
Oh, that was like a...
It meant...
Oh, that was the reverse Spock.
Yeah, is that what you call it?
The reverse Spock.
Oh,
yeah.
The Spock symbol with your hand upside down?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah, the reverse Spock.
Gang sign. I just think of this as like Vulcan that shit.
Well, okay. It's two. No, I think that's good.
So,
I mean, have you talked about this technique already on the air?
Oh, I can't remember anymore. Well, do it.
So basically, you know, obviously everybody, I'm assuming, knows.
Pussy hug. Which is like a general hug. I don't remember if I've talked about splitting the fingers.
Okay, so the pussy hug is essentially, the reverse Vulcan or the reverse Spock is essentially the pussy hug, but with your fingers in the live long and prosper, you know, position. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, upside down, that gang sign version of the Spock thing. And you're basically taking, you know, the first two fingers in your hand and the second two fingers of your hand, and you're splitting them and you're putting each two fingers on one side, on one lip, right? And you're kind of pushing down, so you're getting the clitoral
pressing
legs
into the body.
Pressing into the body, on the lips, which allows the clit to be kind of exposed but hugged at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of squeeze together your fingers, then you can kind of create like this nice tension on the shaft of her clit, which is really nice.
That's when at the very base of where your fingers meet your palm, that's like your clit's like cradled in there.
Yeah. That can be really nice. Yeah. And then you can kind of move it in circles, or you can press, or you can kind of like do all sorts of things. But it basically is creating this, like, you're essentially jacking off our clit, which is really hot for a lot of people.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
And throwing a little tongue in there might be nice too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard to do. Well, I guess if you did it on 69 position.
Yeah. I guess if you were coming from her stomach down, over her, you could do that.
Yeah. That's fine.
Could you? I'm trying to. Yeah, it would be very difficult.
Although she can do it to herself. Oftentimes when I'm getting eaten out, I like to do the reverse Spock on myself.
Yeah.
And then
great.
Their hands are freed up to do other things if they want to do. And I'm putting my pressure on my mound myself. And I'm kind of opening myself up, which feels really good to me.
It's almost like, I find it really obnoxious, that whole, you know, the peace sign with your tongue in the middle thing.
Yeah, I've never liked or understood that.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all.
But it does make sense to do that's like almost like a more structured, it's like that on steroids is the
that.
So
on
you're saying that you should put the Vulcan symbol up to your face instead.
That's the universal sextant sign.
Right, there we go.
Actually,
but that actually makes a lot more sense than the peace sign to do the upside down Spock. or gang sign.
Yeah, well, the peace sign, I think the problem that I have with it is that it's almost like indicating that you need to get the lips out of the way to eat box. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, that's not the right way of doing it. The lips are part of the overall experience. Mm-hmm. You might need to move them or adjust them, but you don't want to... like erase, like you don't want to pull them aside like curtains so you can get to the real thing, right? That's not the point.
Yeah, it's,
I think, but I've always thought that they were saying that this was the shape of a vagina. That's what I always thought was weird.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
See,
well,
I thought
way,
that
it's
until
incorrect.
Until I started going down on females, and then I realized that
it's something
it can
that you
be
do.
A helpful thing to sort of find the things that you want, but then it's also, yeah, you're like yeah. you're saying it doesn't really...
Yeah, you're not going to be very successful.
Things.
Yeah. I have seen, this is going to be hard to come across for people listening, but there were kids in my school who would do this.
That doesn't like make that. Any sense. Oh, probably the opening.
Yeah.
He's pairing off his middle and index finger, meeting them at the tip so that he creates this like almond-shaped hole.
Yeah.
And then he's just tonguing it.
Yeah, it's acting like, I mean, that's the vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice little gang sign yeah. for eating box.
But that's not, you know, really what you focus on either. I guess if you're like... like that, the tip of your... someone came by.
as you lick your fingers.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, man? Just in your comic book store licking my fingers. No big deal.
Let's go
it's
over...
It's probably not the first time that's happened.
No, there's no way.
Let's just go over some basic areas of the vulva.
Sure.
Just real quick, because you mentioned the vestibule. So going from the pubic mound where the hair grows and then like where the slit opens,
mm-hmm.
like there's... there's a mound, which is fun to press on. You can mm-hmm. access the G-spot externally there. And then you go down to where it's opening. And then you get into the clit hood, which is covering the clit.
Yeah, to various degrees on various people. Or to varying degrees. Yeah, so the clit hood. So basically, the way to find the clit in the dark. And this, it's, you know, people make fun of it. But like some women have very small clits. It's not impossible that you might not be able to find it. But the easiest thing to do is if you're going from the top down, where the cleft of the labia kind mm-hmm. of, you know, that the top of the labia, it's generally directly down a couple of centimeters is the kind of clit shaft. And then
it shines bright blue.
Yeah, and if you see it, it'll start, the angels will start to right, sing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't go blind when you see it? You know,
I do, but it's out of sheer happiness.
Awesome. So you follow you can follow that and you'll usually find the glands, which often is covered by the hood, mm-hmm. and as a woman gets more aroused, it'll kind of, the clit will creep out more and the hood will pull back more, mm-hmm. very akin to foreskin on a cock, if totally. The cock has foreskin. And if you're going from the bottom up, it's basically the vaginal opening, and then straight up, and that will kind of bring you underneath the clit, and then you'll find the glands that mm-hmm. way. So that's usually, you know, a foolproof way of finding the clit. Especially when it's dark.
I find it nearly impossible to find someone clit unless I go from like top down and find that tube thing feeling, which is the clit shaft. Right. And then I'm all like, oh, and then I'm there. Mm, also, make sure your finger is moist, because that dry searching in the dark thing yeah. is, mm-hmm. I mean, the lights could be on, but that dry sensation of someone trying to find your clit is kind of uncomfortable for some people.
Yeah.
And so, moisture is helpful.
Yeah. I mean, if she gets wet, then you can, you know, it's really sexy to, I think, use moisture from her vaginal opening and kind of mm-hmm. pull that up. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, especially when it comes to eating pussy, especially if it's kind of a newish relationship, I think that it's important to use the clit, treat the clit as its own entity, how do I want to say this? Don't necessarily
allow it to vote.
Kind of.
I get two votes.
Well, so a lot of because you have two clits. I'm confused.
No, because she's a person, and
my clit gets a vote. It's like it's like women win everything.
It's like the opposite of what the GOP thinks.
Exactly.
Like they don't want anything on us to vote. So anyway, that was super political. I'm sorry.
My uterus gets a vote too. Ben.
Sure. Why not?
Let's be fair. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway. So. I don't even remember. Oh, so, you know, when you're, you know, eating pussy, I think penetration is something you should ask permission to do unless she asks you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a couple of reasons. One, you know, I think just giving women permission over their own bodies is really special. And so to say like, hey, can I enter you?
You don't assume access to the inside of the body.
Right.
That's a big one.
That's a huge thing. And yeah. so I think that will just endear you to her immensely just by asking permission. A second thing is that sometimes inner stimulation can override or kind of detract from clitoral pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes it's sometimes it can asset. It depends on the woman's body. But yeah. If I'm like on the clit orgasm train,
choo choo,
and you penetrate me, suddenly it's got, like you're forcing me to transfer to the G spot train, and I'm not in the mood for the G spot train. Mm-hmm. So asking,
we didn't have a ticket. Sorry.
That's, oh my Lord. I love it.
Oh my God.
So
what's up, Katie?
So, yeah, sometimes the fingers inside or a toy inside while you're eating her clit can be phenomenal for some women. But sometimes it cannot be great, or it can just change the vector of mm-hmm. the pleasure. So I like to be eaten out just with external stimulation until mm-hmm. I come once.
Okay.
And then things are easier from then on. Some people, they'll get really close and then they'll want you to insert something into them and then kind of take them over the threshold mm-hmm. with internal stimulation as well. Mm-hmm. This is why, again, like, you know, everybody's different. Ask.
Mm-hmm. I find that if someone assumes and kind of starts to do the, because a lot of people get really excited about the fingering, like, oh, it's a finger. And mm-hmm. it's just like, I wasn't ready. And now that's just kind of an annoying sensation. But if I'm wanting it and say, oh my God, finger me,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, woo, we all win. So yeah.
And again, like being like a bossy bottom, I think that's really hot, especially when you're.
But is that bossy?
It's helpful.
It's helpful.
Yeah. You gotta,
and when a woman is like so into you, she's like, fuck me with your fingers. I'm like, yes, yes, ma'am.
Well, that solved two problems, you saying that.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I'm a big fan.
Okay, bossy bottoms, cool.
Yeah, bossy bottoms are the bomb. Yeah. Be a bossy bottom. That's a takeaway. Be mm-hmm. a bossy bottom.
That sounds almost like I don't want to be bossy. I just want to be nice. No, but
well, again,
it
like,
is a difficult thing. I mean, it is that type of communication is so, it doesn't feel right a lot of the time.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be mean about it.
No, I know.
But yeah, no, I mean, we're taught to be polite and we're taught to be complacent a lot of ways. And like, how about just teaching people how to ask for what they want?
But minimally be like, I like that thing you just did 2 seconds ago. You know what really stinks about communicating when someone's doing stuff is they'll be doing something, right? And then they do it and you're like, oh, I like that. And then by the time it processes, I should say something and I say, I like that. They've moved on to something else. And they think I meant that about the thing they just did.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're pleasuring a person, and they say, I like that. And if you were just changing it up, think about what you were doing like 3 seconds earlier.
We can also be like, this or this.
Right. Be that thing or the thing I'm doing now. Yeah. Or check in. What I'm saying is, I notice that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That there's that delay. And I'll be like, and of course, I will communicate mm-hmm. you know, more after that. But I find that an interesting delay.
Yeah.
And the observation. It's just a thing.
And as a receiver, though, like I've definitely gotten into like the downward spiral of not saying anything. And they're like doing this one thing that's not even close to good for like, and then you like don't say anything and then you keep not saying anything. And now you're like, I haven't said anything for 10 minutes. And now you can't say anything because now they're going to feel really bad that they were doing that thing you didn't like for 10 minutes. It's. I get
it. The
downward spiral.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Sure.
It's unfortunate. Yeah.
It's not fun. And it's like, and then it's, you feel bad. And then
how do you get out of the downward spiral?
You speak up as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And you can ask for things. Like, I mean, if you're not loving what they're doing, instead of saying, that sucks, you can say, hey, can you try this? Or I would really like to feel this right now.
Also, if you're on the other side of it, don't take it personally.
Yeah. It's like
there's a lot of danger of that, though. You know, I know, I mean, I try not to, but every now and then I'll be like, oh, you know?
Yeah, totally. Your ego gets involved. I get it.
Fuck that up.
Mm. Yeah. Mwah. But that's the thing. Like when you're like, you know, I've definitely been like, I've done the ow thing before where it's like my partner thinks that he's doing everything right. And then mm-hmm. I'll be like, yeah. Because he'll just like pinch me the wrong way or mm-hmm. something. And it's just like, he feels bad.
That was really
like,
cute.
It was really cute.
That's kind of the sound that I make.
But I like the fact that you wrote a lesbian werewolf book novel. And then you make the
really?
Animal sound. Yeah.
Yeah. I did write a lesbian werewolf.
Wow.
I actually have copies I can give you guys.
Ooh,
yeah. Let's do it.
I'd love to.
Cool.
Wait. I think of Tales of the Pack, that's .com. That's your website.
Well, lesbianwerewolves.com will get you there, too.
That's right.
Lesbianwerewolves really? Will take you all
You own lesbianwerewolves.com?
Can you believe it wasn't taken already?
I'm trying to buy that for years.
No. You can give me $25,000 for it.
I have that.
I'm blanking on the title of your book.
Lunatic Fringe
Lunatic
is the name
Fringe,
of the book.
Sorry. I always think that it's Tales of the Pack.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, no, that's just your life.
That's just my life. That's true. Lesbian werewolves are my life. So yeah.
Okay, so we went away from anatomy, and I just wanted to visit a few of the other geographic reasons. First of all, the clitoral hood, to me, I always think of the Star Trek symbol that they wear on their uniform. That's kind of like a sharp, acute angle, and then like a little swirly thing at the bottom, or like what I can't describe it. But you know,
that's totally what it looks like.
It's the sign of the thing. It's like a little hat or something.
It looks like it's like a. How do you describe this? Do you know the symbol for the car company Acura?
Looks like an A?
Yeah, an A. It's like an A, except with no line through and like pointy legs.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. Like, you mean the Star Trek symbol.
One of our listeners, Vincent, who's local, he's so awesome.
Yeah,
he has the Star Trek symbol on his arm, like somewhere, and I'm like, the clitoral hood. And he's like, that's the hottest thing anyone's ever said to me.
You got a clit on your arm. Whoa.
Yeah, whoa, the hood. The hood, hey.
Yo, dog, you got a clit on your arm.
Anyway,
So that's the hood. And then if you kind of follow the hood down, you'll see the inner labia, which are like the little lip parts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're like tucked in on some women. Sometimes mm-hmm. they come out when her legs are closed. Those are really fun places to play with. Mm-hmm. I actually really like it, like the inner labia sensations, because you can tug on them, you can lick on them, you can nibble on them.
Yeah.
They're fun. Because then, again, like when you stimulate those bits, then it kind of stimulates the hood, which kind of rubs against the clit.
Opinion on the intense inner labia suction pull away from it thing. You know when people will like suck on the inner labia and go, and I'm just like, whoa, yowza. It's just like, that's a bit much.
That's fine.
I can't, I'm not actually totally sure about what you're talking about.
Like when you have the inner labia in your mouth, and then
that's
you're,
what I mean.
Giving
it, you don't know the labia there?
I mean, I know what they are basically, but mm-hmm. when you refer to the inner labia, I mean, I guess I know what you mean.
Yeah. So the outer labia are the lips that the hair comes on.
Sure.
For most people. And then the inner labia are the little flaps.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
The part that looks like a muscle, then. The way it seemed
you were describing it, it seemed like little tendrils, and I didn't. I was like, "Where is that?"
That's fair.
I've been sleeping with weird women. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, lobes.
So lobes. That's sexy, kind of. I don't want to think of the inner labia as lobes.
I'm gonna suck on your lobes.
Suction can be really sexy. Mm-hmm. I really like it, especially when people, because I like a lot of stimulation on my clit.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for people to get their heads wrapped around that, so to speak, until they get to know me really well. Because a lot of women don't like that kind of intense stimulation. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm a Hitachi girl, you know, you know what the Hitachi magic wand is, not a bullet girl. So that's, mm-hmm. these are two different vibrators I'm describing. Go ahead and Google them.
Hitachi makes vibrators?
Make the Cadillac of vibrators.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
Hitachi
crazy.
Magic wand. The packaging is great because it's like, look at my shoulder pain. And all the pervs were like, we know what that's for.
Dude, the instruction manual has the outline of the body and has all these dots of where you can put it. You can put it anywhere but the genitals is what they're telling you. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I think it even says don't put this on the genitals.
It's amazing.
They know.
Yeah. That's actually the pornographer's best friend, too. People who do porn, if you want to shoot real female orgasms, generally what happens is they'll cut. The girl get out the Hitachi, get herself right to the edge, and then put it away and they'll start rolling.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah. That's like a classic porn move. Because, like, you know, again, like, porn looks like, you know, there's no clit stimulation, but somehow she's having these gushing orgasms. It's because they got her, like, right to the edge.
I have to try that. The turning off the vibrator right before orgasm and then switching. Oh, that's a lot of self-control.
Well, a lot of these women have mad skill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, like...
No, but I mean, like, yeah, they practice.
Job.
You hear this. Yeah. I hear this and I go, I want to try that and see...
I do that a lot, too. Like, if I'm, like, in a place where I'm, like... I'm in the mood for sex, but like, just, you know, sometimes, like, especially morning sex, like, my pussy's not awake yet, you know? Do you have that?
Yawn.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really ready for a lot of stimulation, but I really want to have sex. So the Hitachi is a great way of like warming everything up, like getting everything juicy and awake. And so I'll like often use the Hitachi while I'm getting like having sex with my partner while he's penetrating me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll like, once everything's like, yeah, we're ready, I'll just put it away and then we'll keep going. That's really fun.
Nice. inspiring. I'm inspired.
Oh, yeah. Really? I love integrating vibrators into sex. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's I'm a big proponent.
I'm on a vibrator diet right now.
Really?
Yeah, I was doing way too much. So right now I'm trying to get back into finding my orgasm through non-vibration.
Where did it go?
Never mind.
Where did it go? It's just, it was becoming impossible to get turned on through manual stimulation. It was just like, I don't know, my body got trained. And this is something that I had a habit of like over a decade ago. I can't believe I'm saying things in decades. But so, and I've had a good decade. And then all of a sudden I got busy and now I was all vibrators all the time. Just like, Jesus.
Jesus,
Joseph, Jerry, and Mary, and whoever. But yeah, no, I'm back on the manual train. Yeah. It's exciting.
Well, I think it's really fun, especially for guys to get used to toys in the bedroom, because I think there's this like, I'm going to be replaced by a piece of plastic, which is like not true at all. And you will probably make your girl come so much harder if you just integrate a toy of some kind.
Well, men are obsessed with things taking their jobs in general. We don't
illegal
want
immigrants.
To take our job. Yeah.
Good point.
And vibrators.
Illegal immigrants and vibrators.
Ban them.
Neither
both.
Of them can vote.
Oh, jeez.
I like cheating, though, if I've already had one non-vibrational orgasm, and then I'll be like, I win. It's sort of like dessert, you know, when you've been good all day, and then you have, you know, you're on a diet, and you get the chocolate.
You like award yourself.
Yeah, nice. I'll be like, yeah, second one. Anyway, enough about me. Oh, actually, that reminds me. So between the inner and the outer labia is that little valley of fun, and I love that valley, you know, just because it's real smooth in there, and that's a great place to even like press in a vibrator to kind of get that vibration deep into like the underbelly of the vulva, while you're using your mouth on top. It's good.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Little pocket rocket in there.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Feels good.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Written a lot of things down.
Yeah,
nice.
And then, what are your thoughts on vestibules?
As opposed to foyers,
the mudroom of the vagina.
That's gross. That's hilarious.
The opening.
I guess sometimes it kind of feels that way, though.
What is the mudroom of the vagina?
Oh, jeez.
Actually, I know exactly what it is.
I've got so many. My brain is going in so many directions. So the vestibule. I love people playing with my vestibule. It is a very edgy feeling because it's like. And it's, but again, like if you haven't negotiated penetration, like playing with the vestibule, it can be really sweet to like kind of enjoy this kind of height sensation of like vagina without actually penetrating. And so like stroking, licking, using it to get moisture and pulling it up is really fun. I think the vestibule is probably one of my favorite parts.
Yeah. Well, we want to know a neat little thing about the vestibule.
What?
This is kind of like us going into the erogenous zone where we talk about anatomy and stuff. When you think about the skin that is the outside of the vulva, and then you go think about the vaginal tissue that's inside, like that muscular tissue. The vestibule is that sort of smooth pinkish type tissue, and that is actually urethral tissue. Like it's a different.
Oh, really?
So there's a meeting of three different types of tissues in the body right there, and that's the only place on the body where that occurs, where there's three different tissues instead of two.
Really?
So there's sort of like a, you know, intermediate zone.
Cool.
Yeah,
that is cool.
We learned that at ASECT. This past year, it was.
What's ASECT?
ASECT, American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. Annual.
You sounded like you couldn't remember it, but you said it perfectly.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it's
very weird.
Visiting the things in my brain sometimes.
It was the following 11 words.
And that's actually coming up. I don't know if I'll be able to go to it, but I really hope I do because it's in Austin. Have you ever been to ASECT?
I've never been to ASECT.
Oh, it's so fun. You learn so many things. I feel like it's just like a sampling of therapy things. And,
super geekery.
And meeting people and you know, just all these PhDs talking smart talk about love and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nice.
Learning.
Did you want to talk about the G-spot at all? I know we haven't.
I feel like I could pick your brain about a million things. Mm-hmm. And female pleasure is, I mean, this is just one, how to use your tongue. I mean, I haven't even asked you about how to use your tongue.
Right. Oh,
like,
yeah.
How to use your tongue on these different bits. There's pressure with the base, but like, I always say sharp tongue versus flat tongue. So there's like the flat of the tongue, the tip.
What if you don't have a tongue?
Right. You're going to be all the lips, like lip sensation. Mm-hmm. I mean, what areas of your... You
know? I like leading with the flat. I think just like with your fingers, right? Like if you're using your finger pads instead of the tips and using the flat of your tongue instead of the tip of the tongue. Because obviously it's the difference between, you know, general sensation and dexterous sensation, like pinpoint sensation. The I think for, especially in the warming up phase, using the flat to like get move stuff around, get do the what was it, the mush or the mash or the
mush it around.
Like that's really good because you can kind of manipulate large areas with the flat of your tongue quite nicely. And again, if then what, as she gets really aroused, the clit will be more friendly to intense touch, and it takes a long. Sometimes it takes a very long time for her to get to that place of like, yes, now I want you to flick your tongue at my clit for as long as you can do it before your entire jaw goes numb, right? Like that's a, you know, so getting to that point, like once she's in that place where she's really excited and you can start kind of doing flicking, playing with the tip of your tongue, seeing if you can find points on her clit, like, you know, the whole clock face thing where it's like different numbers on the clock face can elicit different sensations on the clit. So if you think about a tiny little clock face, you can play with 12.
Looking
you can play
at
with
the clit, like straight on, like
12's at 10.
Which I always do.
Well, a lot of, if you're looking at the clit, I think the like the 2 o'clock. If you're looking at it, it tends to be really popular for some people.
Yeah, I mean, there are people. There are theories like 4 o'clock is where like all the nerves are centered.
So the part's at.
Yeah, I mean, that's but I think the problem with that kind of philosophy is that like it kind of like doesn't give you a lot of information about the woman you're sleeping with. It gives you a sensation about this kind of platonic ideal of clit, which is not necessarily doing anybody a favor. So
because
it's like,
then they think they're broken if that doesn't apply to them, and then you're freaking out.
Yeah, so I think it's more important for you to experiment, find it when she's, you know, getting excited, when she kind of does that squeezy thing where you're like, you know, they, oh, that's so good. You know?
Oh, yeah, and how they hold their legs is so important because there's legs open, and then sometimes it's hotter when your legs are closed and you're bent over so someone can access you from the back.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I actually really love being both giving and receiving when she's on her knees and my like face is pressed against her ass and I'm eating her out from basically behind. It depends on your anatomy.
She's straddling your face?
No. Like, she's like on her knee, like doggy style, and like you just kind of press your face so your eyes are like being pushed by her ass cheeks and your tongue kind of like licks down towards her clit. Now that's a very intimate position because your face is basically in her asshole. But you know, if you're into that, like it's really like hot and powerful. The haunches and the thighs are right there. It's just yummy, and it's a lot more comfortable sometimes. Cause sometimes for women who aren't very flexible, their hamstrings are tight. It's like hard to lay with your legs open for a long time. So that can be fun to try. And then it's kind of like you're standing doing the dishes or, you know, drawing at your drawing table, and I'm just going to drop to my knees behind you.
Ooh.
And lick your pussy.
It's mine. You can't hide it from me.
Exactly.
It's mine now.
I find it everywhere. Snatch a turk.
What was I going to say? The angle at which you approach is also very important because your tongue is in a particular position, and if they like sort of from bottom to up, like south to north licking versus north to south licking, if you position so that it's easiest to lick in that direction, you're going to really give yourself a leg up.
Yeah.
Or a tongue up.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, and I think focusing on things like undulation and vibration instead of just like pure like lollipop licking or like, you know, fake like ice cream cone licking.
Undulation.
Like using your tongue to like pressure less, like pushing, pulsating instead of like the tip of your tongue, like lick, kind of like the porno.
Right.
Cunnilingus, right? Like focusing on,
Yeah,
like
pressing and then going boom, boom,
yeah, like treat,
boom, boom.
Yeah, exactly. Like treating it like a little doorbell with your tongue and kind of like trying
Ding
to bring
dong.
The doorbell over and over again with the flat of your tongue.
Don't ever let your tongue leave the clit. Only play with the pressure.
And then again, like if you've got your face, again, if you're creating a lot of pressure with your face around her vulva, you're basically, you can put the tip of your tongue on the bottom of your teeth and then like...
Ooh.
Like out like that. But did you just, I'm sure everybody listening at home just like heard this gross wet sound as I demonstrated that.
Stiff your tongue behind your teeth so that your tongue arches outward.
You're pushing the middle part of your tongue out of your mouth.
Right.
Yeah. In sort of like a semicircle.
I'm trying to like, this like is like distilling down like what I do to like words of specific.
So difficult. At some point, I hopefully will have a visual, like a show with cameras that can capture the visuals. And then we, guys, there are so many things.
You can see
that,
all these things that we're doing with
ourselves. See how deeply unattractive we all are in real life. And it's just
three people
so
going,
Someday, guys, there will be visuals and it will be great. I hope.
Don't get the wrong idea.
Yeah. Or get the right idea.
Or get the,
just get the idea.
Before we go, I wanted to go over the taste issue and the insecurity about certain things about, like, oh, just the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
personally, I think it's good to check yourself. And I think that's good for all people to check yourself. If you're like insecure about how you taste, just like run your finger along yourself and just kind of and just like smell yourself, taste your finger and just be like, would I be cool with this? Like, what would Jesus do? You know, just like.
What would Jesus do?
Like you know, the golden rule.
I wonder if Jesus gave good head. I wonder if he did.
Mary Magdalene was rolling large with him. I mean, probably.
Well, that's one
no
interpretation of their relationship. Though.
Loose speculation.
The Bible doesn't just say.
And then Mary Magdalene rolled large. Yeah.
Roll large on Jesus.
Oh, but the golden
fucked.
Rule
That's
of...
a line.
It's actually the shortest line other than Jesus wept.
It's actually an entire chapter.
They fucked.
They but fucked.
If you check your genitals with your hand and then put it up to your face and lick and whatever, it's like, would I do this unto others? You know, like...
Yes, and there's another point to that, too. Like, I definitely get the musky stuff. I also know a lot of people who like women, lesbians and straight men. For instance, the musky can be really sexy. It can kind of like trigger the whole like limbic like rutting thing.
Pheromones.
So like I've definitely been on some like, you know, very very yeasty smelling pussies or like very intense smelling pussies, and I really like it. And sometimes smell doesn't necessarily indicate taste. Sometimes you can smell perfectly beautiful and like fresh and clean, and you can taste kind of bitter. Sometimes you can smell super musky and taste very sweet. So it's, you know, I think the checking can be important.
Totally.
But there are also things you can do, right? Like body chemistry is very much about it. Like if you smoke, you might taste a little bit smoky. If you eat meat, you might taste a little bit meaty. You know, eating pineapple is always like the kind of trick for like when you think you're going to get laid that night. You can
neutralize
eat a bunch of pineapple.
That stuff. Yeah,
yeah. That, I mean, makes your cum taste really sweet. Cucumber is really good. Celery, really watery vegetables and fruits are really great for that.
Nice.
To make you just taste and smell sweet. And again, like the way you treat your body will kind of come out in some of the most vulnerable places of your body. So like the smell and the taste is usually a direct relationship to your health and what you've eaten that day.
I was on a car trip recently with a bunch of guys, and I was reading a little bit from She Comes First, Ian Kerner's book. And I just took a poll with all the guys. I'm like, okay, guys, the smell and taste factor. Like, have you gone down on women and been like, damn, that's not okay? Whatever that is, I come resonating towards you.
That's never happened to me.
Never happened to you?
No.
Never happened
never
to me
ever.
Either. No.
I've never smelled a vagina and been like, nope, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, because one of them was like, maybe like 1 in 10, there might be like, whoa, like a little... Cause like,
1 in 10, huh?
And then the other guy was like, 1 in 10, more like, you know, 5 in... Or like, one guy was really pussy negative in the car.
Really?
He's also one of those guys that's like, I have lots of sarcastic things to say about many things, and I'm kind of angry inside. You know,
sure.
So I was like, all right, that's your personality. Yeah. I won't identify this person. But then...
It was a comedian.
Was it you?
Might have been me.
No, not a comedian. Not a comedian. So, I don't know. It's just interesting because as a female who has female bits, who can feel insecure about how I am that day, just checking. It's at some point when you get to know your own body, you can kind of be like, all right. This is okay. This smell and taste is okay. And if I'm okay with it, then they're probably okay with it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like finding that comfort. At least I find that to be
a
good way.
Like, and I think I am kind of biased too, because like I like eating pussy. So it's like if I were a straight woman who didn't necessarily like the idea of it, then I could probably be, it would probably be easier to have more anxiety about it. But it's like when you actually realize that like the smell and the taste can be really lovely, even if it's like, it smells like pussy, it's like, yeah, and it tastes amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I've tasted funky penises before. I've never tasted a funky vagina. And again, like, you know, you can do things around health and stuff, but like, you know, if you're anxious, you know, shower beforehand. You can you can get your pussy eaten in the shower. That's sexy. And also, you know, there are wipes that they make where it's like, if you just want to freshen up, if you're feeling like a little bit funky, flavored lube is fine as long as it doesn't have glycerin in it. Like, there are things you can
dental
do.
Dental dams.
Dental dams are fine, too. You can do these things to make your... It's more of a mental thing. If that's what you need to feel comfortable enjoying cunnilingus with a partner, then do it. And hopefully, the more comfortable you get with that, the less you're going to need those things as a way of just feeling like shoring up your confidence. So if that's what you need, then by all means, if you need to like get waxed and fabulous and all beautiful before you get let a certain person eat you out, then do it. I'm not going to criticize that by any means. I just hope that it will encourage you to like feel more comfortable in your body, so that as you progress on your sexual path, you'll get more comfortable with the people that you are bringing into your bed and into your life to, you know, enjoying you.
Yeah.
And enjoy your own pleasure, which is beautiful.
Yeah. So that's like good tips for the receiver. And givers, give positive feedback. Be honest about it. But if they taste good, let them know, God, you taste so good. Like, oh, yeah, this is so hot. I love my mouth on you. Like, just
let them know. That's huge. And I love to tell women that they look beautiful from when I'm down there. Because, again, like, it feels like a weird angle until you're down there and you're looking up at this landscape of a gorgeous woman and you're like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Thank you so much for like letting me do this. Like, what an intimate, wonderful thing this is, right? Mm-hmm. So to have that kind of grace and generosity, like that's beautiful. And so it's like, I like to tell them like, fuck, you look hot. Like, this is hot. Like, thank you. This is awesome. I'm going to eat you out so hard right now. Like, that's fun. And then it takes the edge off. It takes some of that shame away that women have been indoctrinated with. Like, give that positive feedback. Tell them they're beautiful.
You'd be great if you're just like going down a person and you just go like put your head up and go like, I win.
That can also be terrifying.
Think of it more as like a win-win, not just a one
we
person
win.
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 Oh, by the way, like, I feel like, okay, like, I feel like
I win. And they, if somebody did that to me, I'd be like, I'm going to die.
Okay, sorry. In the context of this conversation, it made sense. Allison, where can people find you?
Lesbianwerewolves.com.
Wow.
I'm also on Twitter at Tales of the Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Tales of the Pack as well.
We're kind of like Twitter buddies. Like,
we're super Twitter buddies. I tweeted about you today. Yeah. I tweeted about you the day before. I think I actually tweet about you every day for the past 4 days. Which is like, now I sound creepy.
There is some like flirtation, but I was like, oh, yeah. What's up, Tails?
That's fun.
Hey. Dave, where can people find you?
Twitter, Dave to the Ross. That's me. And my website, DaveToTheRoss.com. And I do a bunch of stuff. It's all on my website.
Yeah, so, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
Hire him. Fly him to a place and have him do cool things.
Yeah. Oh, I am going to be performing in some cities around the U.S. coming up soon.
Oh, serious?
Yeah. At the first week of April, I'm performing for 3 nights in Atlanta and then a night or two in Nashville. And then at the beginning of June, we don't have the exact dates yet, but going through Arizona and New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Fun. That's awesome. I'll miss you.
I'm going to be in Portland. Can I share that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm going to be in Portland with my book and also teaching how to drive a Volva.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be teaching at some sex toy stores up in
drive
Portland.
Fest.
Yeah, right.
Real fest.
Yeah. and I'm going to be in Victoria, British Columbia. And
oh, great.
Do you have dates for those things?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in Portland at the end of April. And I'm going to actually, I'm doing a literary event. So with queer writers, it's going to be at a place called the Jack London at the end of April.
Nice.
Or May 3rd, I think. Somewhere. Go to my website, talesofthepack.com. There's a whole calendar. But I'll be in Portland reading my book and teaching sex ed classes and doing stuff like that all at the end of April.
Okay. And funny enough, I have just decided to go to Momentum Con this year, which is at the end of this month. So it's at the like March 30th through April 1st, something like that, in Washington, D.C.
I'm going to be there.
Oh, great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be awesome.
So, and someone just tweeted, like, when are you coming to D.C.? It's like, well, apparently at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So Momentum Con, it's $100 to go to the conference. It's for new media and sex ed people. And I have no plans to teach there, but if anyone knows of a sex store that wants to like host me to teach a class one of those nights, I'm totally happy to. But tweet at me if you're in D.C. Maybe there can be like some cool meetup thing or whatnot. But people are always like, come to our city and do a thing. And I'm like, okay, I know there's one of you in that city. Which cities have the most sex nerds in it?
That's a big secret, though. Like, for people who are listening to this stuff and want to meet sex educators or any sort of like performers of any kind, like, we're humans and we are planning our schedules. So email us and let us know that, hey, if you come to this bar, I can hook you up with, you know, this person who has a venue. And like, would you like to come? It makes it much easier for us to come and hang out.
Yeah, like, I have a group of 15 friends who all listen to your show. that's helpful to know, Kansas. You know,
exactly.
Like,
no, it's totally true. Speak up about that stuff, because when we plan things, it's all about figuring out where people will find us.
Oh, I wish I could read minds. You know, like not Magneto, Dr. Xavier, where he's all like,
both.
He can just like call
the Magneto
out.
Thing's good too.
I would love that to just know where all the sex nerds are.
I just want to be Michael Fassbender. Is that wrong?
No, not at all.
Anyway.
Me too, is what I'm saying. Yeah, seriously, I totally agree with that. Let us know so we can take this show on tour.
Yeah.
I want to do that so badly.
Yes.
That'd be rad. I would totally watch you guys.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'd watch you do it all night.
The way you looked at me was great. I want to watch you guys. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Is our pussy eating? We're not done with the topic. There's so much to say. Snatch Attack. You have a good week and go team fun.
Butt Attack.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.